today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Jim, do you mind if I smoke in here?
Actually, Patrick, I do mind if you smoke in here. One, we're inside, and two, it's really bad for your health. Since when did you start smoking, anyway?
It's part of my new weight loss program. These are diet cigarettes.
Okay, Patrick, it had been a while since we've done a backstage interview, right?
Yeah, it has been a while. And you set up kind of a cool one down in D.C. the other day.
Yeah, about a week ago, we went to Rock and Roll Hotel.
Yeah.
Which is not an actual functioning lodging facility.
I've actually been ejected from there for actually sleeping.
Is that right?
Yeah, because I misunderstood the whole thing. Yeah. And I brought my toothbrush and, you know, I was walking around with my Long Johns and stuff, and now they asked me to get out.
So it's one of the cool clubs in D.C.,
yeah.
And in fact, I did not even know this until recently, that it's completely independent. It is not booked by one of the big, you know, booking...
No.
Whatever, outfits, right?
Yeah.
Which many of even the smaller clubs are these days.
That's right. So. And it's also in a different location. It's in Northeast Washington,
right.
Not Northwest, where a lot of the, you know, the 930 and Black Cat and a lot of the other places are. So it's in a different geographical location. It has an independent spirit, and
yes.
It's a cool place. You know, as long as, you know, the band is good, it's going to be a good vibe in the room. And I was really surprised by how nice the big backstage area was, right? I've never been back there before. That was really one of the better
band like dressing rooms I'd seen. It was kind of amazing.
Yeah.
So when you're in DC, please visit Rock and Roll Hotel and try to get backstage if you can. No. So the band was Diet Cig, C-I-G, Diet Cig. And I got into this band only just in the last few months.
Yeah.
Okay. Although it's funny.
Well, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, so it's funny because remember a couple of years ago, you and I went down to South by Southwest.
Yes, we did.
And I remember seeing their name. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those names that just sort of, you know, you can't forget, right?
Yeah.
Diet
mm-hmm.
Cig.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they released an album last year called Swear I'm Good at This, you know, I gave that a listen. And then over time, I just got more and more interested in it. And so when I saw they were coming around, I thought, let's talk with them. And Diet Cig is essentially a two-piece. Alex Luciano, she plays guitar and she's the singer.
Yep.
And then Noah Bowman, and he's the drummer.
Yep.
And initially, that was it. Like, just the two of them. And
right.
That's how they started playing.
Right.
Now, on this most recent tour, and apparently they've been on the road for several months, this most recent tour, they added a bassist and a keyboard player to sort of round out the live show.
Those are the two random people sitting to our left.
Now, be nice.
I'm kidding.
We should have been nicer to them.
They were very nice. Yeah. Yeah.
But really, you know, it's Alex and Noah. They're the band. They write the songs. And if you watch, they have several music videos on YouTube. They're in all, you know, they're the focus of all of that.
Yep.
So what really impressed me about this band and why I thought it would be fun to talk with them is I mentioned the full-length album came out this last year. Before that, they had an EP called Over Easy, which was five songs. That came out in 2015. So that would have been around the South by Southwest time that I'm talking about. And then and the EP was on a label called Father Daughter Records. And then the new one is on French Kiss Records.
Okay.
But anyway, just to set this up, and you're going to hear this coming out in the first question I ask, but what's just really impressive is, you know, they're young people and they've only been doing this for like 3-4 years, but I'm really impressed with sort of like their drive and ambition and confidence, because the story goes that Alex, you know, just kind of sort of knew how to play guitar when they started. Like, this was her first time in a band. You know, she just, you know, knew a few chords and said, you know, I'm going to dedicate myself to this and I'm going to learn to play and write songs. But not only that, to do it as a two piece is just really kind of blows me away, because
pretty much taking all the responsibility yourself.
You would think, you know, if you were going to do that, you'd like recruit another guitarist to come in
and hide behind them. Yeah.
Right. I mean, and that's very common in rock music you know, the singer maybe isn't the better guitarist in the band, but plays rhythm guitar, mm-hmm. and then you have a lead player. No, right. She was like, I'm taking this all on myself. So, and what you hear in the band is that sense of, I think, confidence even comes out in the way she sings. She has this big, beautiful, very emotive voice that really comes through. Yeah. And her songwriting is very impressive too, in the sense of it being very personal, very vulnerable at times, very much about things that, you know, are going on in her life or that they're going through, but in a good way, because, you know, although I mentioned, you know, they're fairly young, so the songs will be about, you know, young love and heartache and things like that, or sort of, you know, this kind of like finding your place in the world,
right?
That kind of stuff. But it rings very true in not only the lyrics of the songs themselves, but I think a lot of times in the delivery and the presentation, you feel the emotions coming through in a way that you, as the listener, can find things about your own life that you can relate to that person, or you can empathize with that narrator, that character, mm-hmm. whatever. And so am I selling this right? this is a good band. I like this band. And the other thing that impresses me about their songwriting is, and I really see potential for where this could go. They've been described a lot as a pop punk band.
Yeah.
But I don't think that really does it justice, because when I think of a pop punk band, you know, kind of like yesterday we played The Regrets. And yeah. I think of like a band that sort of just, you know, turns up the amps and plays, you know, this kind of very full sound and plays, you know, Ramones or Green Day kind of style, mm-hmm. and plows through a song, mm-hmm. and it's verse, chorus, verse, and that's kind of about it. There's some of that here, but the songs also take some weird turns, and there's kind of stops and starts and real like dynamic shifts that happen. And I think that comes probably from Alex's, you know, growing up in listening to emo. So you have some of that in there too, mm-hmm. although it doesn't have that emo sound. It may have some of the style to it. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's well said. Yeah. And Jim Linehan will be producing their third album.
Well, you know, if they'll
at
have
Arden Studio.
Okay. So let's get into the interview here. And what you're also going to hear in this too is the origin story. So
yeah.
So Noah played in a band. I just want to mention this. He was already playing in a band. The band was called Earl Boykins, named after an NBA player, and they're big basketball fans. And so
big NBA fans.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. So I think I've talked on way too long here. Let's get to the interview with Alex and Noah of Diet Sig. And just to illustrate a little bit what I'm talking about, you're going to hear a little bit of a song from their first EP called Harvard.
Cool.
Alex and Noah.
Hey.
Hi.
Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Jim, for going back to the car and getting that SD card.
Yeah, thanks for doing that.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Like a champ.
He's not even breathing hard. I would be sucking.
I don't think he ran.
It's what I do.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just get right to it. We don't have too much time.
Sure.
Right. Cool. So here's the thing about Diet Sig and Alex in particular that I want to ask you about, which is this. By your story, a few years ago, 3-4 years ago, something like that, was when you guys got together, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yes.
At that point, you only knew, like you say, like a few chords on your guitar, right?
Yeah.
And then within a very short period of time, you're not only in a band, but it's a two-piece band. So you've got to carry like this tremendous load, singer, guitarist. What drives you? How did you have that kind of ambition and confidence to be able to do that?
Well, I'm a Leo.
Done. Next question.
I don't know. It was fun. Like, it started off as something that was like, not like, oh, we're going to be in this band that's a real thing and it's going to be our career. It was just started off like, let's just do this thing for fun. And I was like, okay, like, I can try this. I know a couple of chords. Like, let's keep doing it. And people kept asking us to play and we were having a lot of fun and we were just like, let's just keep doing this and see what happens. And all of a sudden it kind of felt like we were touring a ton and like people were coming to our shows and it really kind of happened fast. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I'm like in a band that people actually listen to. And I mean, I am still like a novice at guitar, but like after playing every single day, like on tour for like a couple years, like have gotten better. And I don't know, there were a lot of bad shows when we started, but it was fun. So we just kept doing it.
But you have to understand that most bands, when they say, we'll just do this and we'll see what happens, like this doesn't happen.
Right. Yeah, you know? I don't know. I feel like, yeah, I've never been in a band before, so I don't know anything else, but I definitely aware that this is like such a bizarre like universe that we're living in right now. The fact that we get to do this.
Yeah, definitely was not the plan when we started doing this.
Was there one moment when you realized, wow, this might actually happen?
I think when like we signed to Father Daughter, like really soon after we like recorded and we like sent it out, the recording, like the day after we finished it, and like within 24 hours, Jesse got back to us, was like, hey, wow, we want to put your record out. We're like,
it's amazing.
Oh, okay, yeah, cool. All right. Easy. And then you kind of were just like, and then it just kind of snowballed from that. And then we just started touring, did our first tour, and people were coming out and they're like, we know your stuff. And we're like, we're in Ohio. I've never been to Ohio. Like, kind of, right, just kind of.
It was only like, you know, like 8 people probably of the people there who were like, I know your songs and I like them, but that felt like
a lot
incredible at that time.
Yeah,
we were like, oh my gosh.
We're not
gosh
in like our basement at our friend's house. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we did a lot of touring and like a lot of shows that were just people's basements and a lot of shows that were like, we're playing in a hot dog shop to like 12 people and it's really fun. And
so, Noah, let me get back to, you know, forming the band though, because you were in a band already. Yeah. Right at that point,
yes.
In fact, there's a story about how Alex like interrupted you during a show or something like that. Is that
it
what
was in between?
It
songs
was in between. It wasn't an interruption. It was a like, oh, hi, oh yeah, kind of like.
I feel like that story has gotten sensationalized.
Yeah. Well, hey, but well, hang on, but every rock band has to have a like an origin myth, right?
Right.
Right. It's like, you know,
I was riding a shark and there was like,
right,
a, yeah,
it's like
kind of thing.
Springsteen,
yeah,
story about Clarence Clemens like busting the doors open and showing up, right? It's like always you got to have this myth.
Yeah,
that's so that's good. A good thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All
right. Yeah. But you were asking for a lighter or something like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the myth. So
sure,
there you
that's
go.
That's the myth.
I think
let's
it was
that.
Yeah.
But anyway, the question is, you're in a band.
Mm-hmm.
What did you see in Alex that made you say like, forget that band, this is the person I want to be in a band with? Again, knowing a few chords, you know,
right,
this kind of stuff.
Right? I think it was because when we met, she told me that she was like a media student, like was trying to do music videos and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, I'm in a band. Cool. Like, we don't have any money. Like, she's like, I'll do one for free. So we kind of were talking. And then she started coming on the road with us for like short little tours. And then she'd always like had brought up that she had written some songs. And I was kind of like, oh, why don't we were like bored one day. We're like, why don't we just like go and figure it out? Play with like plug you into an amp and like I'll play some drums and just we'll
I
goof off.
I never played electric guitar.
That
before
was the coolest moment I've ever experienced because when she plugged that in and like had like an OCD pedal and just hit a chord, it was just like you could see like, oh, this everything's about
awesome
to change right now because she's
crazy.
So that, like you were that so excited. And so it was cool. But definitely like I think it wasn't planned. It was more of like, pretty much I was like, you've got like 5 songs, let's record them and like just for just like just so we have it and then that's it. But then it kind of like we're like, oh, let's send it out, and then it kind of went from there. But it was
so,
never gonna be anything,
right? But there must have been what did you see in her talents, I guess, made you say like, this is it. This is my new future.
I guess it wasn't
like, oh, like we're going to ditch the other band and we're going to do this. We were just like, let's just goof off for an afternoon. Yeah.
And I think I was refreshing because like I have had been banned since I was like 12 years old and like dealt with so many different like people and egos and stuff. And it was like the first like refreshing feeling of like someone that was so new and it was so exciting for Alex that I was like, this vibe is really cool. Like I haven't been around this in a while. I feel like everyone's starting to kind of like be like, yeah, we've been playing in bands since we were like, you know, for 6 years in the same band. We're not going anywhere kind of a thing. And, but like, it was like, oh, let's just do this for fun. And kind of just, it was fun. And I think that's what was the big change. It was fun. So I mean, not saying the other band I was in wasn't fun, but this was like new. It was fun to do something different.
But that's an amazing story too, because if you're just saying, I want to do this because it's fun, and then it just works out. I mean, we should all live such a life, right?
Yeah, pretty good. Do things because you like to do
them. That's honestly like
even
when
if you're
we,
bad. Yeah. Well, I didn't know like all of our first shows, I was horrible playing guitar. Oh. God bless Hunter, who does our merch and is our TM now. He was at our first show ever, and he was like very friendly about it, but was like, that was horrible. He didn't say that at the time. He was like, that was great, but we had so much fun. And we were like, we know that was not great. And then we had to play a lot of shitty shows.
Yeah.
But like, we were just having fun. Yeah. So we just kept doing it.
But we also had that, like, we told ourselves too when we were doing this, we're like, we agreed, like, we're going to do this until it's not fun. And so as long as it's still fun, we're just going to keep doing it. And it's been fucking awesome and fun. So we're going to keep doing it. You know?
So, Alex, what music did you listen to when you were younger? Obviously, there must have been a seed planted at some point musically to give you this kind of aura that when you hit that first chord, it was like, whoa.
I listened to a lot of stuff, but I feel like I wasn't like a cool alt music kid. I listened to just like a lot of like 2000s top 40. My first ever concert was Avril Lavigne. My mom was pretty cool. Like she took me to go see like Regina Spektor and like Kimya Dawson like when I was in like early high school and late middle school. But I really listened to a lot of like Fall Out Boy and like My Chemical Romance and stuff. And then like when
Tegan and Sarah might have been in there a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. But not, I feel like I wasn't even like that cool. I wasn't like Rilo Kiley was like the extent of like my like alt listening at, like growing up. And then I didn't really like discover like DIY or even like small shows and like indie artists or whatever until I went to college. So I was kind of like a nerd. Yeah.
Those 2000s pop hooks come through in the songs.
Like when people ask us,
we still listen
to
them in the car all the time.
Like genre of music for us, like I genuinely feel like 2000s like top 40 and like pop punk, like the way like those like hooks come in is like just so influential, like so good.
And I think we're only beginning to see the influence, but that's another podcast that we do.
That's right. But Alex also is a fan of your favorite Nicki Minaj song.
Oh my God.
Oh, is that right? Super Bass. Yeah, literally. I picked it as a perfect
always
pop.
Comes
I
back.
In one interview. Everyone finds it. I literally hope nobody Googles this. I feel like, I covered it on my ukulele in eighth grade at an open mic night. All the people there were like middle-aged to old, and they were like, what the fuck? And I was like, thought it was so cool.
That is pretty cool.
It was fun.
It's pretty badass.
I'm pretty embarrassed by it.
That's right.
I think the only person who has the footage of that is Hunter's mom.
Oh.
And she lives in Belize now, so you're not tracking her down.
Pretty easy. We know people in
Belize. I have Hunter's phone number now.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
So, Noah, what about your music growing up?
My dad is a drummer and musician, just jazz guy. So I grew up with a lot of like kind of kooky stuff. I feel like a lot of jazz was like always playing, and then I kind of went down like that kind of like math rock kind of like world, and like, you know, I tapped into Radiohead for a little bit and kind of went down that, and like a lot of like punk stuff. And so, and I was really big into like Algernon Caldwell and stuff like those kind of like kooky like bands who are like, now he's like in Hop Along Now, which is cool, one of those guys. But
oh wow, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
It was cool. I was introduced so young, and like there was always like a drum kit, there was always a guitar, there was always a bass, and like it was, my family was so supportive. Like I've been in bands since I was 12, and they like would drive me to the gig and help me load up and you know, do everything. So it was fun, and there was a lot of friends growing up too that like to play music, so I just always was in a band. Yeah, it's like all I kind of know how to do, yeah. I feel like.
God bless your parents.
Yeah. They're cool. They're really cool.
They must be.
Okay, Patrick, so I thought you would like the Nicki Minaj.
I love that. That was a great
story.
Moment.
Yes. We talked about, right?
That was a fantastic moment. Yeah. Anytime you can bond with someone, Jim, over Super Bass, it's a good time.
We didn't actually get the tape of that. We no. thought better of it. But
yeah.
But anyway, okay, so that's
cool.
The first part of the Diet Sig interview.
These guys are great.
Thanks very much, Alex and Noah, for putting up with us. And, oh, one thing that you may have heard too at the beginning of that, it was a strange reference to the missing SD card
right.
I had to run down to the car to get.
So you actually sprinted. It was beautiful.
I did. Yeah. Yes. That's why I do all that training. Yeah. So I'm ready.
Exactly.
Any
it was needed at that moment.
Yes. Otherwise we would just have to be, you know, taking notes on paper and then telling you what they said. Right. No, but I got that SD card.
Now that works. Recorded.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so tomorrow you're going to hear more from Diet Sig. They're going to talk a little bit more about a couple of songs in particular.
Yep.
And sort of, you know, maybe where they're headed from here. And with that, this is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Please rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. Please subscribe.
Please tell
your friends. If you're new to the show, because maybe you're into like really cool new indie rock bands.
Like Diet Sig.
Check us out. Go back to the archive. It's all there.
It's all there.
All the many, many episodes we've recorded, and there's a wide range of stuff, I think. Also, you can email us, rock@suburbspod.com, and tell us what you think about Diet Sig or any other thing music related or not really, you know, just email us anything.
A random rant.
Yeah.
Something.
That'd be good.
That'd be great.
If you have perhaps a large fortune and you need to wire us some money. No, how's that work? We wire you some money so you can then pay us the fortune, right?
I think that's the way it works. Yeah. Yeah, Switzerland's involved.
You can email that too.
Yeah. If you own Tottenham Hotspur, give us a call.
Or, yes, you can call 612-440-1984 and leave a message and we'll get your voice on the show and we'll send you a sticker if you call. And then also we're on the social medias of Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Suburbs Pod. There you go. Okay, let's get out of here. We'll play out with one of the popular songs from Diet Sig.
Okay.
It is called Made of the Mist, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Well, I got to tell you guys this, since you're on the road so much, our show's on every day.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
We literally are on every day.
You'll be on more than one day.
Wow.
That's the way we'll do this, depending on how good it is.
So let's keep going. Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.